final segment of Canuck Central this hour, brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, explore their exceptional selection and save. Like $7 on 36 packs of Old Style Pilsner. Visit your nearest BC Liquor today and enjoy responsibly. So just before the break, we were telling you about a Scott Laughton hit on Evan Rodriguez in the neutral zone. Clearly a hit from behind. Evan Rodriguez went to the dressing room immediately. So we're watching this while it's on mute, right, as we do the show. And Sat and I were like, well, this has got to be 5 minutes. And then I go look at the box score because the Leafs didn't get a penalty, got a power play out of it. And they gave Evan Rodriguez 2 minutes for embellishment, and then they gave Laughton and Nate Schmidt coinciding roughing penalties for the scrum that ensued after the hit from behind on Evan Rodriguez. NHL officiating, man, it never ceases to amaze. A hit from behind is called embellishment? Never seen this before in my life.
Is it because he dropped his stick and grabbed his face after he went face first into the boards?
Yeah, man, I guess.
You know? Got hurt too bad.
It's not like a, you know, like a stick infraction where a guy like tries to sell a hooking penalty or a trip or something like that. It's a hit from behind.
It's stunning. Honestly, it's stunning.
I can't believe it. And it's like one of those things, consensus. Everybody watching this is like, how did that happen?
Unless there's like an angle or something that shows that his head never hit the glass.
Yeah.
And then he acts like he did.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, that's the only way. But the linesman who was there, like, gets out of the way, doesn't even see the hit. So I'm not even sure who sees it. Did they even go and review it on video?
No, they didn't, because they didn't call a 5-minute
man. So how do you... Anyways.
They just called embellishment.
Whatever.
All right.
So now the Leafs are getting the calls.
Yeah, I guess they are. Okay. Everything comes back around in time. All right. It's a Wednesday. Let's get to it. Overrated, underrated. Hit the music. Thank you to all the listeners that were listening off the top of the show that reminded me that it is, in fact, Wednesday and not Tuesday, as I had mentioned. Luke says it's over. The day of the week is overrated anyways. So knowing the day of the week is overrated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're caught in the, you know.
Maybe if you won the lotto and you just like have no schedule, you're just like, whatever.
Yeah, if that
doesn't matter what day it is.
But if you're working a 9-to-5 or you're working a Monday to Friday job,
mm-hmm. you should know it.
Yeah. Well, the days blend in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what day
now,
it is.
Now that the Canucks season is over and I'm not as focused on like the schedule.
I will say there are days I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, what day is like yesterday? I wasn't sure what day it was. Yeah. Today, the only reason I know it's Wednesday because I saw Josh say we have overrated and underrated. Today.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how
I lock on to my days of the week.
That's how I know. Overrated, underrated, you give us a topic. We decided if it is one of those two things. All right, Josh, what do we got?
Start with this one from KD. Marco Rossi's comments on his role in Minnesota and his potential fit with the Canucks. Overrated or underrated?
His potential fit with the Canucks. First, I want to shout out Frank Saravalli, who was on this show months ago saying that he's not sure about Minnesota wanting to pay Marco Rossi whatever it is he mm-hmm. might deserve, given what he got 60 points this year.
Yeah.
So he had a good year offensively, but clearly in the playoffs he didn't have the same amount of trust that he had in the regular season. I'm a Marco Rossi fan. I think he should be on the Canucks list of targets, so I'm going to say underrated. I know he's not a perfect player, but let's be honest, perfect players aren't usually available in trade. So I think it's a fine bet to make for the Vancouver Canucks.
Overrated.
Huh.
Too small? Too small?
Too small? Too small?
Is that the reason he's
that?
Is that the reason he's too small?
Where else are you getting a 60-point centerman?
Well, I mean,
who's clearly available?
Yeah, clearly available. And didn't even play in the top six for his own team that had playoff aspirations and needs a center.
Well, in the playoffs, he didn't play in the top six.
Yeah, well, I mean,
throughout the season, he played in
well, the playoffs. Kind of matter
a little bit,
you know.
I don't know.
No, I'm not. Do you guys think that Marco Rossi fits the mold the Canuck players the Canucks go after?
I don't know what Canuck hockey is without a head coach, right?
That's
now.
What I was going to say.
Yes.
Does the world open up now that Tockett's gone?
Yeah, because Tockett is gone. Now they're going to have a bunch of Smurfs play because like, we don't care about size anymore. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, we know Rutherford is running the team and Patrick Alvin. We know the types of players that they want and they've gone after.
Yeah.
Do you guys really think?
What, you don't want guys that score points?
This
team needs offense.
Do you think they're going to target a 5'10 guy who can play the toughs?
Sat, they need offense.
I don't disagree. But do you think
Quinn Hughes led this team in scoring by like 20 points?
So by that logic, they should have just kept Daniel Sprong and played him 20 minutes a game. They need offense.
Maybe they should bring him back.
Okay. Come on. Marco Rossi was a 9th overall pick. Daniel Sprong is Daniel Sprong.
Sure. All I'm saying is guys that aren't being trusted right now. And Rossi might become that. He might, right? Yeah. But like, I'm not sure if he will, to be honest. And the second part is I just don't see this management team being the management team that's going to be like, you know what? We have one big swing. Let's take that swing at Marco Rossi. Like, it just doesn't. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit their MO at all. They're going to go with the guy in a shelter?
You got to pay him right now, too.
And you got to shelter.
Which is the reason Minnesota has a decision to make on the play.
So Filipino, they've said, is not like the second line center. He's like a third line center.
Yeah.
But he's not really a matchup guy, right?
No.
Pedersen, they're trying to get him to get to that next level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should be a matchup guy, just isn't.
Isn't yet, right?
He's got to stop worrying about his points and just play a better all-around game.
So the
Elias Pedersen.
The two centers I just mentioned who are playing top up the lineup, they don't feel comfortable yet being that guy. They're going to add a third guy who's even more unreliable defensively. It just come on, guys. Let's be logical here.
All right.
It's academic. Watch them make a trade for Rossi. I'll be so shocked.
You need more offense.
Yeah, you do. But you also need
look. I don't think he's not the top option, but
still a good hockey player.
There is he is an option in the Canucks' quest.
I'm just saying, but and you know, this person says, "Wake up, Sat. The Canucks draft tiny players and have a small lineup. What team are you watching? Look at the guys that they've gone after. Like they've drafted some small players. Sure,
Beadle, O'Connor, big players, speedy players.
Yeah, look at the size." Sherwood's not the biggest guy, but you see how he plays.
Yeah.
Look at their defense.
Yeah.
They signed Vinny Desharnais because he was a 6'10".
But maybe they go after those players because they're like, you know what? We'll have to insulate Marco Rossi one day.
If you can get Rossi... Okay, so here's the thing. If you can get Rossi cheap, there's always a value proposition that I say okay to, right? Like, if the value is like a second-round pick equivalent, sure, why not? But if we're talking about you have to trade your first-round pick and more or whatever...
I don't know. Like, I'd have a hard time, Matt. Like, I know Minnesota's kind of out on this guy, but at the same time, he's got back-to-back 20-goal seasons. It was a ninth overall pick not that long
ago. So they want a lot.
They probably want a decent return.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I want to pay that price.
All right, what's next?
Next one comes from Kurt. Trading Filip Peronik for a top-six center.
I'm out. Overrated, no.
Underrated.
Mm.
So in this imaginary scenario...
Mm-hmm.
Are you trading Hronek and then being like, hey, Tom Wallander.
Have all the bonuses.
We're chill now. Or is it Wallander plus you're going after a free agent? And you get a top six center in return for Filip Hronek.
Mm. Well, so, I mean, I'm not against anything. Really, I'm not. Because I think these are things you have to consider. You have a surplus on defense. You don't have to trade a prospect. You can trade a veteran. Marcus Pedersen's no trade doesn't kick in yet. Same thing with Filip Hronek. Why would you not consider it? Yeah. I'm not saying you should trade them or they will trade them, but why do you would have to consider it, wouldn't you?
You would have to consider it. I just feel like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Well, not necessarily. So we're sitting here and saying that they can trade a D-man.
Yeah.
Because of DPD's emergence, because, you know...
So who's playing Wallander on the right side, though? Now, like, your right side is now, like, what? Wallander, Mancini, and Myers?
Yeah, for the time being. Like, you're looking at it for being long-term. Like, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying you can consider it.
Of course you can consider it.
Like, if Wallander becomes...
It's not a great consideration.
Well, if Wallander becomes a top-four defenseman...
Yeah, it depends how high you are on Tom Wallander.
Like, if Wallander...
How many years are we talking about before Wallander becomes a top-four defenseman?
I mean, probably quicker than Mancini, for instance.
Is DPD playing right side top-four minutes next year?
Probably not right away, but he did show that he can play the right side.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I think you have to consider it.
You better be getting a damn good center.
Of course. I'm just saying, like, if you're trading Filip Hronek, you're trading him because you think his value has increased from what you gave up, which was a first and a second round pick.
Yeah.
And that you're getting a legitimate needle moving. Like, if you're doing a one for one, you're getting like, wow, they're getting a really, you know, a nice high end forward back in return. Because I'm not sure you're getting that for anybody else.
I mean, that's the kind of piece that you know, it trumps maybe some of the futures that other teams might have that are better than yours. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like this text, unsigned, Hronik for hints. Would you say no to that? I'm saying yes. Now, I don't think Dallas makes that offer.
Yeah, no.
But like, yeah, I mean, those are the types of things I would consider. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if it was like you go to a team and they're like, hey, we're not super into Tom Elander, but we'll give you this clear top six center for Filip Hronik. Like if it's, let's say Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, I mean, imagine Detroit's like, you know what?
We made a mistake, guys.
Let's take Phil back.
My
we'll
bad.
We'll give you Larkin this time instead. Yeah.
That'd be such a bad name to think of.
Good one, John.
There's so many names out there.
The hints one was good because that one's like
the guy that Detroit didn't want to pay. Yeah.
Like, well, you know maybe they look at it and they're like, we made a mistake.
Yeah. So the Hronik for hints, again, I don't know if Dallas does this even, but this makes some sense because they have depth down the middle. Mm-hmm. They have some players, right? They need a right-hand defenseman long-term. Yeah. Like, you can look at that and be like, okay, but I don't see that happening. But if something like that came across your table, mm-hmm. I think you would have to consider it is all I'm saying. So underrated.
Overrated for me. I don't want to lose Hronik.
Next one.
You didn't even want the trade. You didn't even like the trade when
I didn't like that, but a man's mind can be changed.
This is what I'm saying really about Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Austin and Langley drafting more Pettersons. There's a Pettersson in the upcoming draft, Liam Pettersson, left-handed defenseman, who is available.
Liam, is he Swedish?
Yeah,
of course.
Is he? Okay.
He's a Pettersson.
How many Petterssons do you know that aren't Swedish?
I was saying, I mean, Liam is like, you know, I'm not saying it's not a Swedish name. It's not quite as traditional a Swedish name. That's what I'm saying. Liam.
I'm pretty sure two-thirds of all Petterssons are named Elias or Elias.
Yeah, when I hear Liam, I'm like, is he in a band? Like,
One Direction?
It's like, is he in a band that they just do Oasis covers? Is that what he does?
Yeah. We really both showed our age.
Yeah, sure. Draft all the Pettersson. I'm with it. Let's go. Underrated.
You're probably overrated. I mean, how many of these guys are any good, really?
Can really all the Petterssons be worth it?
He's projected late first round. Yeah. He'll be there.
He's projected late first round.
Late first round? The Canucks are going to be late first round. I'm picking late in first round.
Well, no, they're
picking Canucks are not good about them.
Reach for him if they
That's very optimistic about the Canucks next season. Picking very late.
Yeah. So, sorry, he's the 28th ranked European skater.
Ah.
So
I misread that.
Well, probably not late first round.
So he's probably third round.
Yeah, that's their wheelhouse with Pettersson. Yeah.
That's the Pettersson sweet spot.
Well, they picked the first round Pettersson. Yeah. They picked the third round Pettersson. Second round? Now you cover the first.
It all works out.
Yeah. Patrick Alvin, he loves drafting sweets. So,
well, yeah, I saw this text from Tyler saying Rossi is European, so he has that working for him, but he's not Swedish, so he has that working against him. So
pros and cons.
Yeah.
Next one from Tatiana. Rick Tocchet interviewing with noted East Coast teams, the Seattle Kraken and Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, I love this so much.
They're so East Coast that they're in the same time zone as the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, I think underrated because not to say that I don't think he's going to Seattle. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. Even Anaheim, I'm not quite sure.
Seattle is said to have made a phone call.
Yes.
I'm not sure. We're not sure how long that phone call lasted before.
No, I mean,
how far down the road it went, but they at least made the call.
I think any time you're an available head coach and an NHL team calls you.
And a recent Jack Adams Trophy winner.
You listen. Like, you have to listen to, like, you can politely decline it going any further, but every single person is going to listen and talk because that's what you're supposed to do.
I think it is, it's underrated because in the world of chaos of the Vancouver Canucks, it is.
Well, it's underrated.
Very Canucky.
Because the reasons he gave, I don't think, are compelling enough. Like, personal reasons. Like, he didn't go into detail. I know Rutherford said family reasons, wants to go back east. There's been suggestions that he was tired of the media. And all those things might be true, but I have a hard time believing they were the deciding factor.
Yeah. You know, it would... Tocchet would be... Like, if he goes to a West Coast team, I think there's, like, a chance he gets booed at Rogers Arena.
I think that's
crazy that is.
He comes back with
like,
Seattle.
Welcome back, Rick Tocchet. It's just, like, boos across the ring.
Oh, I could totally see it. It'd be great. It'd be great.
Like, poor guy. He won Coach of the Year here. He's, like, getting booed at the rink.
It just
I get it. Yeah, I do.
Well, it just seems like, you know, he talks so much about pressure me pressure with pressure, and then he, and then the reason he's not in the market is because partly the pressure. Mm-hmm. I just don't buy that as being the reason. And if it was, then that speaks poorly of him. You know what I mean?
All right. Next.
Next one. Speaking of Rick Tocchet, from Justin in East Van, careers in media.
Oh.
So let's keep it to like NHL players, I guess, and
players?
Coaches in media.
Yeah, well, I mean, overrated, for them, underrated. I mean, so I think the general question is, if you're an average person, try and get into media. I mean, the honest answer is overrated, because it takes so long for you to get where you want to go, and honestly, it's very difficult.
With the media world shrinking, it is more and more difficult.
We are
very lucky to have these jobs.
Yes.
I don't not think that anyway.
No, and I'm not suggesting that if you're trying to get into broadcasting, you shouldn't get into it. Follow your dreams. I always say, if this is what you want to do and this is your dream, go after it and stay dedicated to it. You can get there, but just understand it might take a long time. Mm-hmm. You may not make a lot of money initially, and maybe ever, like depending on how your situation goes, right? But you have to be willing to deal with that. If you're willing to deal with that and willing to take that leap and go through some hard times, then go for it. If you're not, then it's not for you, because it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's a grind. It's not what it used to be.
It is definitely not what it used to be. There are still people that make a lot of money doing this.
Yes.
We are not those people. But Rick Tocchet does get paid probably handsomely to do his work on TNT.
You're talking like maybe $1 million to do the job, right?
Like if he were to do a full season, he probably gets, you know, close to seven figures, if not seven figures. Some of, you know, the big time analysts, like, I think about this question from a former coach or a former player's perspective, certainly a coach like John Gruden, you know, when John Gruden was the Monday Night Football guy, he was making a bleep ton of cash.
Millions upon millions.
And you had to work one day a week. Now, obviously, you work more than one day a week. You do prep and stuff like that. But it's a lot different from being like all in as an NFL head coach, where you're like grinding all the time, you know, like you're watching tape, you're doing all kinds of stuff. It can have its benefits to guys who used to coach or play and have a lighter schedule compared to what you used to have and still make a decent amount of money at that level.
That's what has me feeling really nice.
Oh man, John Gruden, just the best.
Next,
not actually, but he's kind of fun.
Next one from Basketball Phil. The Golden Globe for Best Podcast. Did you guys see this?
Golden Globes are having a new award for podcasts?
For podcasts. They're going to have a Best Podcast category at the Golden Globes. We're going to be invited, guys.
I can't wait. Canuck Central, the number one podcast. It is well-rated by the masses.
Yeah.
And we are going to the Golden Globes next year.
I'll submit it.
Guys.
I'll do all the work.
Overall, that stuff's overrated.
You wouldn't be pumped
for awards, like, you know,
for a Golden Globe
from the Hollywood elite.
Yes, that would be sick.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Have you watched the studio episode of the
one
Golden
came
Globes
out last night?
Yeah, I want to watch that. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah,
real
it was,
good.
Yeah.
A little chaotic.
It is chaotic, but it is really funny how much like they make fun of themselves in the show.
Well, they should.
And how silly Hollywood is.
Well, I mean, all this stuff's like, it's just so arbitrary. Like, you know, the measure of what's the best movie. It's so artistic. And I'm not against it, but it's like, you know.
How do you measure art?
Yeah.
It's a subjective opinion.
No, yeah. And then, you know, you get the really artsy people being like, well, this one has more history to it. And it's a deeper meaning to it than, you know.
This is how we have to pitch Canuck Central. We have to be like, oh, you just didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
Yeah. Critics didn't get it.
No, we can't. So I don't, you know, we're not a highbrow show, are we? We're not a lowbrow show.
Definitely not a highbrow show or a lowbrow.
We're a midbrow show.
We're midbrow.
Are we saying we're mid?
Are we a unibrow?
You said it.
Are we a unibrow show?
Unibrow show.
We're the Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Canucks.
That's pretty
radio
good.
Shows.
AD
yeah,
Central.
Good. He's a good player.
AD Central.
Got traded for Luka Doncic. final one? We get to the final one?
Last one from Mike. Listening to the radio with your partner and having to explain what a conspiratio / jinxio is.
Underrated. That's great. Anytime you have to tell your significant other about the stupid things that we talk about, I think that's a win. That's a win for us.
Yes. The conspiratio is one of my, whenever I have a very tinfoil hat take here on the show, and feel that there is more at work than is led to believe. There it is.
It's Dan Spiri Jim.
And Dan Jinxio is when I text in the group chat, Anthony Santander sucks, and then he immediately hits a home run.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, the Jays end up, that was great. It wasn't as fun because the Jays lost. They ended up giving up, you know.
It was he took the lead with the home run. Yeah. It was all perfect.
Yeah, Yimi Garcia just decided to not throw strikes.
The Angels hadn't scored more than 6 runs since April 10th, and then they scored 6 runs in an inning.
But yeah, but Anthony Santander, like, we kid you not. 20 minutes before Santander?
Yeah, I think it was like the fifth or sixth inning. And reached
It was after his third AB, and he had 2 strikeouts, and I'm looking at his numbers. This guy's got like a 5.30 OPS. What is happening?
And then next at bat.
And then he went Yahtzee.
And you know, the thing I love about Reach is this is Reach. Like, you know how people think, oh, is Reach actually like this? You know, he's on the radio. Like, yeah, he's a lunatic.
Thank you. Yes. All right. So there it is, Dan Conspiracio, Dan Jinxios, living large right now.
I love it.
Leafs heading towards a 2-0 series lead on the Florida Panthers. They've got a 3-2 lead.
Are you
after
doing
two-
this on purpose right now?
What do you mean?
Heading Leafs. Towards a 2-0 series lead. They have a 1-goal lead.
Yeah, heading into the third period.
Yeah.
Leafs are known to be great holders of leads. JanPro, from the boardroom to the break room and everywhere in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. You will hear Leafs and Florida third period. Then we'll take you to Abbotsford for the Abbotsford Canucks against the Coachella Valley Firebirds, game 3 of their series in the second round of the Calder Cup playoff, series tied at 1 apiece. That's coming up. You've been listening to Canuck Central.